Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a story told of a man who was crossing a desert in the days of the pioneers. He ran into trouble and was dying of thirst when he spotted a pump near an abandoned shack. He had no water to prime the pump, but he noticed a jug of water near the pump with a note attached. It read, "There is just enough water in this jug to prime the pump, but do not drink it first." This well had never gone dry, even in the worst of times, so pour the water in the top of the pump and pump the handle quickly. After you have had a drink, refill this jug for the next man who comes along. So what do you think the man did in the story? What would you do? Would you follow the instructions on the note to the letter? Or would you drink the water that was in the jug? In our Old Testament lesson, Abraham faces an incredible dilemma. We don't know how old Isaac was exactly, but we do know that he was unquestionably Abraham's greatest joy. When God instructs Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, it was a command to, in essence, pour out Isaac's life. He was supposed to take Isaac to Moriah, sacrifice him, and offer him as a burnt offering. Now, such a command is incomprehensible. To kill your only child, one that has been longed for decade upon decade. Throughout the Old Testament, the worship of the one true God did not involve human sacrifice. Now, this was unlike the pagan worship of the many nations that surrounded God's people, which offered children and human sacrifices to false gods. This text is the only place in the Bible where God commanded anyone to kill a human being as a sacrifice. To make the situation all the more challenging, after the Lord had called Abraham, he gave him a wonderful and magnificent promise. It was a promise that even in his old age, Abraham would have descendants by his wife, Sarah. The Lord made it clear that their son would be the child of promise. When Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, a full 25 years after the Lord first spoke to him, Isaac was born. Everything God had promised was being fulfilled with Isaac's birth. And then God commanded that he be offered as a sacrifice. Can you imagine what must have been running through Abraham's mind? He had to be tempted to think that the Lord's promise was worthless. The promise stated that the Lord loved Abraham and had singled him out as a means through which the nations of the world would be blessed. The promise stated that through Isaac, countless descendants would be born. But in our text, it seems as if Isaac was destined to be the one and only descendant. So why trust God? The promise said the promised seed would come from Isaac. But how could this be if Isaac is sacrificed? It didn't make any sense. Now, thanks be to God, our faith is not put to the test as Abraham's was. But our faith is tested often as we live in this fallen world. Part of our problem is that by nature we are quite selfish. So when we are called upon to sacrifice anything, we're very slow to do so, especially when it involves those things which provide for our convenience, let alone any of our possessions, and often not even for anyone we really care about. So put yourself in Abraham's shoes. What would you have done? Would you have trusted in God's promise above all things? Would you have refused? Would you disobey the divine instructions to kill your son? Or as one pastor said, take your chances with God? Our text. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. Everything's ready. Abraham has nearly done everything the Lord had instructed. And then Isaac asks, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham replies, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." And our text continues. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on top of the wood. Now, Isaac's actions might be just as remarkable as Abraham's. I mean, here he is, bound atop the wood to be burned, and there is this humble acceptance. And as Abraham readies his knife to fulfill God's command to offer his son of promise as sacrifice, the angel of the Lord stops him. Now, it's said that once when Martin Luther read this story to his family, it is said that his wife Katie could not contain herself. She burst out saying, "I do not believe it." I imagine she couldn't believe that God could do something like that, ordering a man to kill his own son. It is further said that Katie went on to say, "God would have not treated his son like that." And Luther simply told her, "But Katie, he did. God did indeed offer his only begotten son. He did so on another mount called Calvary. But no angel called out to intervene and stop the proceedings. The Lord kept his promise to Abraham and the promised seed as the sacrifice to atone for the sins of the world. God did indeed provide. Even when all seems hopeless, the Lord keeps his promise to give his redeemed a Savior." Now, Jesus was just as willing as Isaac had been. At Gethsemane, Jesus had prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But he immediately added, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Christ was fulfilling the words of Psalm 40. "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." And Jesus became the willing sacrifice, the lamb that was offered as the sacrifice of all sacrifices. What incredible love. I mean, it's really incomprehensible, is it not? The angel of the Lord prevented Abraham from sacrificing Isaac and then looks up, and there is the sacrifice provided by God, a ram with its horns caught in a thicket. It became the offering in place of Isaac. But at the cross, there was no other sacrifice offered besides Christ himself. Jesus took our place, accepting our punishment. God's own Son went to, if you will, the altar of the cross to die, shedding his innocent blood. But he was keeping his promise. All those years before, Abraham knew that God would keep his promise. He made all the preparations and took the trip to Moriah in faith that kept clinging to what God had promised. I hope you notice how Abraham told the servants that he and Isaac would go to worship and then come back, both of them. God was going to provide and fulfill his promises, even in this situation where he had commanded that he kill Isaac. Abraham knew that God would provide. In Hebrews, we read that Abraham considered that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Chapter 11, verse 19. Isaac was received back, not by having been killed as sacrifice at Moriah, and Christ was killed on the cross as the great sacrifice. And God the Father raised him from the dead, showing that his sacrifice was indeed acceptable and accepted as ransom payment for the sins of the world. Now, God's commands and laws did not cancel out his grace. because Christ was held to account for all our sins and iniquities. But now he lives and tells the good news to his disciples and instructs them to share it to the ends of the earth. The Lord has provided. He has come through on his promise when things seemed hopeless. And it's the same for us. When things appear utterly hopeless, when things are completely out of control, the Lord fulfills his promises and provides. God's promise ends up being the most important thing in this text, not Abraham or Isaac's obedience and faith. At the end of the passage, the angel of the Lord reiterated the promise that God had already made at the call of Abraham. In Abraham, specifically through the promised seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. This was the same promise that Christ fulfills. The promise that Christ was keeping by his life, death, and resurrection. So as we begin this Lenten season, we cling to God's promises all the more. For our text reminds us that it is our sins that Jesus had to die for. But thanks be to God, the Lord has come through on his promises and was raised from the dead and will fulfill another promise on the last day. All who die in the Lord will bodily be raised from their graves and their bodies will be glorified. Now, such wonderful knowledge in the midst of the trials and uncertainties of life in this sin-filled, fallen world are comforting. Such knowledge really is all that can offer us true comfort. There's no other place that we can flee for refuge. And from our epistle, we heard, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." This could also be translated as, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." Just like Abraham, live by God's promise. Cling to his promises with certain faith, even as you endure trial and temptation. Because temptations do come. And as we know, desire gives birth to sin, and left unforgiven, to remain impenitent leads to eternal death and condemnation. All of this serves as proof that what God says of you in his holy word is correct. You are sinful, that you can't save yourself. You are in desperate need of a Savior and the blessings that he bestows. Thus his Spirit brings forth fruit of faith that he has given you to confess your sins and say the same thing that the Scriptures say about you. And then you rejoice to confess what Scripture says about your Savior and what he has willingly done for you and for your salvation. As one of his blood-bought redeemed children, you are to be certain that he has become flesh to bear your sins to the cross, and that by his death, he has destroyed death, that is, eternal death, for us. He is redeemed. And risen again, he gives you the crown of life that he earned. But he also gives you every good thing in this life. It is all yours in Christ. Because in Christ, you are forgiven of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.